Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So who's got a word this morning?
Good morning. Hallelujah. The love of God is great. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying, guard your heart. Shield yourself with my love. Because the enemy has set himself to destroy relationship. But don't be afraid. Stay in my love. Like my grace is sufficient for you. My love covers you. Stay in it. My love is your shield. Don't allow anything to touch your hearts. Guard it. Guard your hearts with diligence. And stay in my love.
Hallelujah.
Actually, saw this last week, but it fits, I think. Sometimes the Lord is funny with me. You know, he'll show me funny pictures of himself because that's kind of how I relate. I don't know. But he showed me, like, he jumped in front of me, or in front of me, and he was like the superhero. And he had his hands on his hips, you know. And I started seeing all the things he could be. Our paraclete, our husband, our lover, our healer, our everything. And he said, you know, just be brave enough to ask me for the one thing that you need, and I'll be there. And I'll do it. If you have people that are talking about you and slandering you, I'll be your defender. If you crave a husband, I'll be your husband. If you need healing in your body, I will do that. Just step out in faith and have the courage to let me be that one that you need.
Amen.
Oh, I just feel like the Lord is saying, that we're to put on Christ, that we're to put on the lampskin, his skin, like to he's the lampskin, and he wants us, that seed, the seed of Christ on the inside, he wants us to put on him, that there's a putting on, like daily, like to put him on. I just keep hearing him saying, like, put on the lampskin. And when you put on the lampskin, you're protected by every offense, everything that the enemy tries to come, at you to steal the place of intimacy. It's the lampskin. When you put on him, and when you put on him, you can see through his eyes, and you can hear the way he hears and see the way he sees. And then you have that heart of understanding the way his heart works and the way his heart loves to another person. And so when those fiery darts come, they can't penetrate because you have on Christ. You have on the lampskin, so you don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this world in order to be a good soldier, to please he who enlisted you. So it's like every day you need to put on the lambskin so that seed of Christ can grow on the inside. And then before you know it, the lamb overtakes the temple. And it's no longer you that lives, but it's Christ, the hope of glory, that is living through you. So the very ones that slander and try to destroy relationships, you start praying for them, you start blessing them, you start loving them with the love of Christ, because it's no longer you. So put on your lambskin.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 John 4. Father, whatever you want. Whatever you want, Lord. Lord, I ask you to just begin just speaking in the spirits, Lord, of each and every one here right now. Each and every one, Father, joining us, Father, by the internet, or those who are physically here, Lord, I ask you to just begin working in their life right now. We yield ourselves to you, sweet Jesus. We yield ourselves to you. For I would have you to know that I am looking for vessels to speak out of, vessels to declare, vessels to stand, vessels to walk with me. vessels with whom I can share the immensity of my love, vessels whom I can look to rest in me. I am looking for those that will receive my delight in them. Those who will allow my voice to echo through them. I am looking. I am desiring those who desire me. Let me take delight in you. Let me begin to wipe away your tears, to wipe away your pain, to take that which has been a burden so that I might shine through you. I am looking for my vessels, my chosen ones, the ones who will choose me. Allow me. Allow me the space. Allow me the freedom. Allow me to just speak, to whisper my love, my name in you. Great is my delight for those who will yield themselves to me. Great is my delight for those who will take delight in me. Come, let me shower you. Let me shower you in my love. Let me renew you in my love. Let me elevate you in my love. Great, great is my love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for moving through these lives, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you for the testimony, Lord, that you're setting forth in this place, in this moment. Lord, we're looking for that awakening to our true nature and purpose, Lord. That's what some have called revival. But the awakening to our true nature and purpose is to awaken to this love that you have for us, to awaken to this love that you have already ordained for this moment and this hour, to awaken to that greater purpose, Lord, to demonstrate your love for your peoples. The love that you have for those who are lost. The love that you have for those who are saved. The love that you have, Lord, for those who will turn an ear to hear. We rejoice to know you in that love. We rejoice to serve you in that love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, I just thank you. Lord, I just ask for this atmosphere just to continue to saturate, Father, each and every person throughout this day. Glory. Glory. I believe that at the end of our life, there will be one question that is asked. And that is, did you know my love? Did you know that I loved you? Did you know that I sought after you, that I cried out for you, that I cherished you, and that I desired you, that I looked for you? Did you know this love that I had for you? This is what he's looking for us to understand the love that he has for us. To receive the love that he has for us. To believe the love that he has for us. Because it's in that reception, it's in that believing that we can begin to have a place within us that's large enough to hold what he is giving. There's a capacity in you, a vast reservoir that is untapped until we understand the potential of his love. The direction and the order of his love. Hallelujah. See, in 1 John 4:16, he says this, because he's beginning to sum up what he's been talking about all in chapter 4. He's beginning to sum it up, and he says this, and we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. We have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. We've come to know, we've come to understand this, not just with our mind, not just in some intellectual capacity, but we've come to experience it. We've come to the place where we have interacted with this love, and we come to a place of assurance in it. This is the thing that he's summing up here in this chapter, is that because, see, this love is what begins to change and mold and shape us. Brings us into transformation, knowing and believing the love. Because when we believe his love, it sets the stage for us to receive. I'm not likely to receive a lot from somebody until I believe that they love me. When I believe that they love me, whatever they might have to say, whatever overture and gesture of kindness that they might give, it's much easier for me to receive. When I know this love, it sets an atmosphere for my safety. Because now I can know that I'm free to be who I am because I'm already loved. There's great safety, there's great delight, there's great wonder in being loved totally unconditionally. Like we said a few weeks ago, without qualification or reservation. When we're loved without reservation, when we're loved without having to qualify for it by the ways, the things that we do and the actions we've performed, the how perfect we might be. When there's no reservation, there's no hesitation for the love to come forth. This is what he's looking for, is to create within us an environment that is fertile for the habitation of love that he has. So that habitation of love goes forth from us to those with whom we have to do. When we believe, it means we engage it with our whole heart, with our entire being. We engage it with more than just a mental thought. We engage it with our being. Reminds you what he says in Acts 17, in whom he moves and lives and we have our being. When we set the stage like that, when we receive his love, it changes the way that we can begin to even relate to ourselves. And it begins to change the way we relate to our activities and the things that we've done or the accusations of another. Because when we understand that love, we understand that first and foremost, we're covered. You see, love covers a multitude of sins. In other words, love overlooks a multitude of sins. So if I understand that I'm loved by God, then I can understand his ability to overlook my issue and draw me in. Because if you'll understand that part, then that means that eliminates the thing that causes the hesitation between us and him. Because there's never a hesitation on his part. The hesitation only happens on our part. He's looking for us to trust him enough. When we believe in this love, it gives us the platform to trust him enough to draw close to him. To draw into him, no matter what has transpired, no matter what has happened, that we can come freely. There's great freedom that's found in choosing to believe in his love. Love that is complete When it's talking about perfect love, it's talking about that love that is complete. Love that is complete is not bound by law. It's not defined by law. It doesn't need to be. Love that is complete is not bound in fear. Love that is complete is not put under compulsion. Because the love that is complete is a love that is satisfied within itself, draws you into itself, and brings you into the fullness that is in Christ. That is what he's looking to release in us, is a fullness of capacity for who we are, a fullness of capacity from where we can go, a fullness of destiny. We don't have to accept a substitute when we understand the true depth of love. When we see addictions, that's because somebody's trying to work out love. They're trying to find a way to find and invalidate themselves. Some of the people who are on a Fortune 500 cover are simply trying to validate themselves because they don't have love. When we truly find the depth of God's love, we don't have to validate ourselves externally anymore with any other thing. And that means that removes all the need for addiction. That removes all the need for success or fame or money or fortune or any of those other things that people use to validate themselves. God has a plan and a purpose, and He is not against bringing you into a place of fame or whatever. He is well able to lift you up and bring you in and get you exalted by His grace, by His power, by His strength. But He wants you to do it from a foundation of His love, so that you're not looking to those things for completion. You're looking to feed someone else. You're looking to bring life to someone else. You're looking to use that platform to release what God has so that someone else can understand their value, their worth, and their potential. That's what he's looking for. We've come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. Verse 16, God is love. The one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this love is perfected with us, but it is made complete, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. When he's talking about abide there, what he's talking about is to remain as one. The actual definition of that abiding is to remain as one. In John 15, where he's speaking about abiding, he's speaking about abiding as a branch abides in the vine. He's speaking about abiding because it's a place of life. It's the place where you draw life from. And as you draw life from that place, in this place of abiding, you remain as one. It's one organism. It's one life. It's one life that is from beginning to end. So that the life that is in you is the life that is in Christ. And it's whole, well, from beginning to end. Whole and well from beginning to end. When we begin to understand that oneness, we can begin to understand that no matter what it is that we might do, it doesn't affect relationship. Because in the abiding, relationship is set. Relationship is set in the abiding place. In the abiding place, we can understand and look and understand that relationship is set. We might do something that changes the harmony of a situation, but it never changes the relationship. I've used this before. If I get fussy with my mom, I could change the harmony of the situation, but I would never change the relationship, because the blood determined the relationship. The blood is going to be the same. The relationship is going to be the same. The relationship is always there. I could change the harmony by my action. And yes, I often did. Someone else said it for you. You're being good. Someone else said it for you, so thank you, Kim. But my point is that the blood determined the relationship. with you and Christ. The blood determines the relationship. It's not going to change. You are always going to be a son or a daughter of the Father himself and the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are always going to have that relationship. That relationship is set. When we understand his love, we can understand that the relationship is set. It never changes. It never alters. It never has to be anything else. It's not going to be anything else because it's already determined in him, not in our actions. Now, we can increase the connectivity by our actions. Obedience brings blessings. Obedience brings us into a place of blessing. Disobedience brings things with consequences with it. That's the disruption of harmony. But God has a place he has already ordained for you in his love. And that love has already determined the relationship. And when we choose to receive it, we receive the ability to be in harmony. When we choose to believe it, to believe the love, we're setting relationship. I have something I'm trying to express. I don't know how to express it. But it's real easy for us to just go, well, I believe in his love. And to miss what's being offered. He doesn't want us to miss what's being offered. He doesn't want us to miss the sanctification that comes with his love. He doesn't want us to miss the relationship that comes with this love. He doesn't want us to miss the opportunity that is there, not because you've done anything, but because he already did it for you. He doesn't want you to miss because you think, well, I've already got it, that you fail to recognize I'm not completely and wholly and totally completely immersed in it. Because he wants us immersed in it. He wants us immersed in it so fully and completely that no matter what happens external to us, that we know that we have this relationship with him. That we know that we have this place set within us. So that when someone comes and they make accusation or slander, someone comes and they start barking at you, it doesn't matter what they do, that they can't move you from the place of love. So that the flesh no longer has need to rise up because you're already safe. You're already complete. You're already whole in his love. And it didn't matter what they did or they didn't do or maybe even what you did or you didn't do. You're already whole in that love. I don't know how to express that. But he wants us to understand the importance of it. Because it's easy to say it. But when the moment comes, are we in it? Are we in it? When we have this love that is so complete, then we are in a place where we don't have to run from him anymore. We don't have to hide from him anymore. We're in a place that's so complete that no matter what else happens, that we're okay with him. And we're okay with ourselves. Sometimes that's the biggest hindrance. Because the reality is I can feel really good about God, but I don't always feel real good about me. But if I'm totally and completely immersed in this love, if I'm totally captivated by that love that he has for me, if I'm totally surrendered to that love that he's conveying to me, then I should be okay with myself as well. See, when we're pursuing his love, we're pursuing his character. 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 follows 1 Corinthians 13. Imagine that. And what it really was, what that first sentence there, was a summation of chapter 13. It said, pursue his love. Pursue love. Two words. One sentence. Pursue love. In other words, what he's conveying is he wants you to pursue love, and I stole that from Pastor Enrique. He wants you to pursue love as much as you would pursue any of the gifts. Because you're pursuing his character. Because if you'll pursue love, then that gives him authorization to make all the necessary changes in you. See, because when we pursue love, it's the pursuit of who he is. It's the pursuit of who he wants to make you. See, every thought that you have is a seed, and that seed's going to bear some sort of harvest. And so when we begin to pursue love with our thoughts, when our thoughts are about pursuing this love, and which is pursuing the character of God, then the character and nature of God is what comes forth as a harvest. When we're no longer having to keep score for everything that happens, see, that sets us free. Also sets the other person free that you're keeping score about. See, when you're not keeping score, then that moves you out of the past. Some people feel entitled to be bitter. Why? Because they're keeping score. It says that the love of God is first patient. Does that describe us? See, because what we have to recognize is impatience is really some form of control. We're trying to move somebody to do something. And we're usually doing it because of our own fear. But love, true love, sets you free from that fear. So whatever you are impatient about, now you can be patient with and move at the other person's speed. Recognizing that their need and what is necessary for them, that is love. See, love will do what is necessary for the other person in the relationship. God did what was necessary for us in the relationship. And then we get to pay it forward. And part of that is, see, love will always move you to forgive. It's what's necessary in a relationship. Hallelujah. I guess I'll actually turn to 1 Corinthians 13 for just a second. There's something else I had thought about here. See, when I understand his love for me and embrace his fellowship, then it sets me free to be me. It's no longer about being bound to some situation and some circumstance, something of my past, but it sets me free to accept and move forward today. See, love is patient, love is kind. You know, what we have to understand is love is kind, but kindness is not love. Because, see, love is so much more than just an emotion. Love is a powerful force. It's a force, and it's the presence and character of God. It's not brag, it's not arrogant. Bragging is about puffing up yourself. Arrogance is about empowering yourself over someone else. Love looks to do that which is most beneficial for the other, not to lord over the other. See, it does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own and is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. In other words, you're keeping short accounts. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Because love ultimately brings forth grace and truth. As we understand what he's offering us, we understand this grace and truth that is being made manifest to us in order to carry forth the plan of God in your life. Love bears all things and believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Because love looks to see that which is necessary for the other person. Love will stay with someone, loving them and accepting them for who they are. It doesn't mean that love will enable them to stay that way. That is a different thing. But love will cause them to come forth in who they're supposed to be. Love doesn't give up easily. when every thought becomes a seed. Love is constantly thinking about that which is the best, that which causes and brings forth the greatest good. Love is the thing that begins to define us. Because, see, we're known as a disciple. We're in John 15. We're known as a disciple by our love one for another. God is looking to establish the testimony of Himself in us through this simple, simple thing called love. It's so simple that we overlook the power of it. We overlook it and we just go, yeah, I got that, Pastor. But we can't overlook the one motivation, the one spiritual force that changed the nature of this world. It changed the nature of time itself. Because your God chose to love you, to accept you, to draw near to you, to give you a place that you could come for sanctuary and safety, for restoration and provision, to give you a place where you could come for healing, and a place where He could come and have fellowship with you. And in the fullness of that fellowship, you actually get to find you. When you find that, you found that which is most precious. It was precious enough for Him to give all that He had. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank You. Lord, we thank You that no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter anything else, Lord, that we can know this love that we have in You. Lord, no matter what today holds, tomorrow holds, or the next day holds, Lord. Lord, the one thing that we have as a constant, the one thing that we know that we can count on is this love. Because we choose to believe, and as we choose to believe, we choose to receive this love. So, Lord, I thank You for making Your message clear in our minds and in our hearts. I thank You for making this, Father, understanding of Your love. Let it saturate our soul. Let it be clear. Let it be full. Because in this love, Lord, is this love is the fullness of Christ in us. Amen. Hallelujah.